I'm Kevin Casey. I'm a professional mixed martial arts fighter. And right now, what I'm about to do is issue a warning out to all other competitors.
I don't want overs. I just expect them to happen.
Fatty's gonna fatty is real.
How have I been this successful in life?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Rotund Fellas did the Rotund Fella thing last weekend. All the people were happy, except for Mark Goddard, who we hate. Owes me some pints, as they say. But we're back with another edition of the MMA Analysis. Cloud Nine this weekend, boys. Two-time Euchre champion. And for good measure, I had to take it a notch up from last time. So I won the Lone Hands as well this time around. Just killing the game at an all-time high right now. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Your team name, beautiful as well, of course. It's good, man. We got a very good card on Saturday. We shit on the UFC rightfully with these bullshit Apex cards that we're going to recap real quick. But, you know, when there's good fights, there's not really much like it. So I think Saturday's going to be fun. Lots of good fights, lots of closely lined fights, which is always good. And it's going to be hopefully the action, shows up.
High level combat sports is still, like, as far as sporting events go, it is right up near the top. I mean, we all have our personal preferences, but
yeah, you got to be talking like playoffs, fucking
exactly, yeah,
type shit. Yeah, yeah.
But yep. We have some of those this weekend, and we've got the Kentucky Wesleyan himself, maybe behind the avatar of that happy face, Tito.
The happy face, Tito.
Wes, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Back on the grind. Back at saying I'm not gonna work, but you know, I gotta get out of this fucking house with kid running around and shit. So we're back to doing some things, but yeah.
How long has it been since you've been just kind of chilling at home?
A little over 2 months. Just like we had like the hottest winter on record, I think globally and in the state this year. Like it was
perfect.
We literally got like a week of like serious cold, and the rest it's been like springtime for the past week. So like everything's kickstarted up this year a whole lot quicker. So it's been a shit show.
Put the young lad to work. Jeez. You gotta learn about that personal responsibility.
The man eats like he needs to get a job. You know what I'm saying? Like
we gotta check out those laws that some of the states around you have been passing. I'm sure he's legit pretty close to.
We're not far off. But like, look, I where they go with that is crazy stuff. Like they think 14-year-olds should work fucking 35 hours a week and shit, which is insane. But like when I was growing up, I'm getting old now, but like when you were like 13, you could work like 15 hours a week at like certain spots. Like when I was 13 years old, I worked 15 hours a week at a hotel. I literally did bellman stuff. Like groups of seniors would come in. I would take their bags off the bus and stuff, make a couple bucks and tips. Nah, I would just get my money and go and buy pot. Like I was already smoking pot when I was like 13, 14 years old. So, but like, I was working then, man. I was a dishwasher when I was 14 years old. I started like working with lawn equipment in summertime when I was 14 years old. So like I get having like a job and personal responsibility, but like the Republicans think that 14-year-olds should be earning a living, you know, like they should be in factories working 35 hours a week and shit. It's like
better be putting food on the table. Jeez.
Yeah. But yeah, it's good to be back, man. Talk some fights. And like y'all said, man, when MMA is this card and when it's this, and it's coming from a Kentuckian that watches Kentucky basketball, there's nothing like MMA when it's good. There's nothing that beats it. Even playoff hockey. Sorry, Sean. It's close, right? If it's Edmonton, huh? If it's Cam, like Big Dickens.
Life or death, son.
Yeah, look, like if Kentucky's in a Final Four, there's nothing top of that. Sorry, but like MMA is a very, very, very close second.
It doesn't need to be that close to home for MMA, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, before we get to the good stuff, we get to talk about the old Rosenjuhl and Gazi. Who was he ever? What a main event. Honestly, I don't know what people expected out of this fight.
Not everybody can nail it. Not like you. You got the fatty expertise. Not everyone is an absolute just medium when it comes to fat heavyweights. I was stupid. I didn't lose any money on that fight. I just passed, but I was very dumb because that was auto fatties and
Brad.
Every other over you could think
we
of.
We can lead them to water, bro. All these years, we can lead them to water. That had fatty written all over it.
I don't even remember what happened after that. Because at one point, like, I wasn't even watching the fight anymore. I was just looking at the clock.
Well, disgusted.
And I just continued looking at the clock for the next one and the next one. But
yeah, disgusted anyway. We didn't get the 25 minutes. Like, that was like cruising to 25 minutes, bro.
That's tough.
Oh, it'll happen at some point. Yep. There'll be another one. There always is. That's what makes it so beautiful. Rest of the main card, Vitor Petrino, unanimous decision over Tyson Pedro. I think I was dog walking for that one.
I had the over 1.5 in that, and that one was not easy.
Yep. Muhammad Mukhaev, unanimous decision over Alex Perez, would make that consensus bet again any day.
Every day at that price.
Man. Umar, unanimous decision over the best cat, who looked like a pretty good cat, you know, for the moments that he was able to have in that fight. The Eggman takes out Matt Schnell. Apparently, he's got the punching power of Joe Frazier now, according to people, and he's the greatest striker ever. And so I can't.
They've obviously
his next fight.
They obviously have never seen a Matt Schnell fight.
Exactly,
or several Matt Schnell fights. Like, come on, yes. Bro.
Chill. Sean, thoughts on anything from the main card?
Not much. Man, we all had Perez. Frustrating to watch that third round. Did what I expected to do. You know, defensive grapple. You just needed to throw a tiny bit more. That guy did nothing. Oh, we need grounded knees for fighters like the Mukhaev, because they just ruin fucking fights. Because you can pull that shit if there was grounded knees, because he would be getting his head put into his neck.
Yep.
Could you imagine what this stalling little prick, what would happen to him against Pantoja? Like, does he think he's going to stall and shit against Pantoja like that? This man's, he's going to die. He's going to die.
Yeah, they can't. After watching that, they can't put
him no, you
in
can't
there. Especially because of just how boring he is. Like, I get, like, he's got a bit of a fan base. He's of course, the EF. He's not the OF, he's the EF, but you can't put that guy. He is absolute anti-fun.
Yeah, so, like,
in one of the funnest divisions there is. Like, fucking.
And, like, you don't want him, you don't want the chance of him, like, one of your most exciting dudes who is your champ in that division. Like, what happens if he does go in there and stalls out a fight? You got a main event that's just so shit. And then the off chance he pulls off some stupid decision or something against Pantoja. Do you want that guy fucking carrying your belt around? It's like, hell no, you don't make that fight, man. Yeah, they got to chill out on this Australian cat. Like, have they watched fucking Matt Schnell ever fight in their lives? Like, chill out, dude. Yeah, I don't think there was much. the best cat, we got to see that dude again. I think Umar's Umar's like supremely fucking talented. Like that guy is for real. And Betskett didn't like on the short notice and shit and everything. Like he didn't do bad. Like he was just in there with one of the best fucking dude, a title contender probably at this point in there in his first UFC fight. I want to see some more of that dude.
And even late in the fight, you know, still was able to get up.
Still trying.
Yeah, was getting up.
Still trying.
Yep.
Just powering out of shit.
To me, the third round of the Mook and Perez is the perfect example of a 10-10 round.
Yep.
Because all I heard is people like, oh, Perez needs to do more. And
I hate that.
Why is he throwing more? The other fucking guy didn't do anything. Either, except fail on takedowns and get squashed like a pancake for most of the round. Like, I don't know how, like, what damage criteria you're using.
People don't know the line. The line moves constantly of like, this was enough grappling without doing anything else because the other dude did none. But this was enough damage because they did just enough damage when the other guy grappled the shit out of him. Like, where's the line? The line is constantly moving with like everybody too. It all depends on who you picked or bet and shit too. I get that. But man, like, come on, dude. Like I'm with you. That's as 10-10 as it gets. Like, how do you fucking score that, man? Like for either guy, how do you score that? Perez, man, it was right there, bro. Like right there. He needed that. You expected more out of Perez though, because that's like in his career at this point, he needed that fucking win. And he didn't have the urgency, man. He really didn't.
Hey, I'll only say this one time ever in my life. Needed more calf kicks.
Yep.
That's it. I'm not repeating it. It's done. It's over. We're moving on to the prelims.
Yeah.
Eric Anders, unanimous decision over Jamie Pickett. Didn't watch it. Sounds like a fucking barn burner. This one was an actual barn burner. Vinny Olives, Bernardo Sopage. Whew. Flying knee with 20 seconds left to finish it off. And a very fun fight prior to that. Ayman Zahabi, unanimous decision over the whack-a-mole. Holy fraud.
Woo.
Clud, second round TKO over Claudio Ribeiro. Ludovit Klein beat up that poor fella.
Man. Man's going to be seeing his daddy in his nightmares for a week after that one.
And Loic took care of all sweaty. Made them all sleepy, if you will. Sean, prelims.
Once again, not much. Here had over 2.5 in Anders Pickett. That was nice. Got a little scary a bit, but are Vinny Olives getting the double dip fight of the night and performance of the night bonus? I'm sure he's going to be enjoying himself for a little while. We'll see how good he comes back after living some good life. I bet inside the distance with Basharat and Zahabi, and that was not even close. Basharat just did nothing. That was crazy. That made some changes in the old Toutmaster. There was some quite the leaps off of off the price that Zahabi was. Zahabi's still not good. It's just Basharat is terrible.
Don't listen to some Canadian MMA media members and shit, because they're loving Zahabi on that fight, on that winning streak.
Ribeiro, that's just such a disappointment. Dude, just brawl in there. That's what you're good at. That's your path to victory. You did nothing. Klein did what he should do. And I really left a bunch of money on the table betting this fight, because I think a bunch of you guys were on Razdabov, and I don't know why I wasn't.
Yep. It's one of the few bets I hit. Saturday was the dog.
Lance hit it too.
It's the new thing, Wes. I coined it on the show last week. The property of transitive fraudulence.
Ooh, that's
That's pretty
good for these contender series guys that win as big dogs and then come in and are a favorite, even though they still suck. Yeah, it's a thing.
That
it's the new thing.
That Vinny Olives fight, though, holy shit. And they should have probably saved the old soap. They probably should have saved that cat because he was out of it for about a minute before he literally got highlight reeled. Like, that shit's going to be shown over and over. Like, holy fuck, that was bad. And, I mean, he was, like, fucked up on his feet for a while before that, man. I don't know if you saved the guy or what you do there, but he didn't need to get fly knee KO'd there. Like, he was completely done. Vinny was a nice price in that fight, man. I think he was like minus 125 or something like that. I saw the weigh-ins and he looked like a true Brazilian mountain climber compared to this fucking guy. I bet him immediately. Good performance. Like, I don't know. Sokpilo looked decent at times though in that fight. Yeah,
wasn't he a minus 2,000 favorite live at some point?
Yeah, there was a big swing in that fight. Mm-hmm. The first round, he like rode on Oliver the first round. Like, he was fucking him up. Yeah, he looked good. Now. He seemed undersized in the weight class to this guy anyway. But yeah, that was a really good fight, man. I like that one.
All right. That was about 10 minutes. I think we went to like 12. We'll do it. Moving it along to this weekend, 14 fights. Some of them we know both of the people, most of them we know both of the people in here, but we'll try and keep it somewhat short so that we can all get out of here at a decent hour. This one, I'm sure, will be brief. Women's flyweight division, Joanne Redacted Wood, Marina Moroz. Sean, what you got?
Marina Moroz should probably not be plus 200 to
or, minus 200.
You know, minus 200, minus 230 to really anybody. if you're absolutely looking for action, I would advise taking Calderwood by division at like plus 325 because that number is too big for a fight that is damn near going to go to a decision most of the time. And it's going to be a close fight. So that's a decent number.
Wesley.
Yeah, most of the time, but Joanne Wood, Redacted, whatever the fuck is.
She's terrible. I understand.
She's terrible. She's almost 40.
Hasn't she retired like four times already?
She ain't fought in over a year. Like, this is just, look, I'm not betting Marina Moroz, but if I was to do anything in this fight, I was looking at her by sub at around plus 235.
Just take the under 2.5.
Yeah, or under 2.5. Yep. That was the other thing I was saying. Because like Calderwood is, she'll get out of there now, man. She will not stay in there like she used to. Moroz is wild. She gets scrambly. Her fights get stupid. So if I play anything, that under a plus 260 is not bad.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that under myself. If they're gets to be an actual good Moroz submission line, I might take that, but where it is right now, I mean, that's just silly.
maybe FanDuel drop something dumb or
yeah, exactly. But Redacted finished in 3 of her last 4 losses, like all subs.
Yep.
She's not necessarily fighting to stick around for 15 minutes these days. Men's flyweight division, CJ Viagra. You know, Asu Almabayev? I don't know. I feel like this guy's supposed to be really good. He's one of those Kazakhs, Sean, but I don't think he's that great.
I think he's pretty good. It's just I don't know if he's minus 550 good. He came in and smoked Ode Osborne. He seems like he's got a lot of skills. That's just a big number. I mean, he is 30 years old. It's not like he's super young. That's a big number. For a guy in Vergara that's got pretty good offense. He can't be it, though. So I think Almabayev, grapples and probably chokes him out or just TKOs him on the ground. But yeah, that's a big number. I'll probably still pick Almabayev and Toutmaster, but that's a big number.
Wesley.
Yeah. I think he's better than Viagra Man, but it's not that big a gap, I think, to be -500 or something here. I think he still probably wins this. I just think it's a closer fight than that line. I don't want to bet Viagra here. I was looking at Aubameyang by decision as some decent plus money. I just think Viagra's tough, man. He's hard to get out of there. Dude stays in fights. He can wrestle a little bit, so it's not like he's going to get taken down and smashed like completely. So I don't mind a bet on by decision. And then the over 2.5 is like -110, -115, something like that. I just don't think this, you know, a lot of times we talk about a guy's -500 or something, you look for inside the distance, but these are smaller fellas. And a lot of these usually end up going to decision. So I kind of like the over 2.5 here.
Yeah, kind of thinking that myself. Haven't seen a ton of Asu other than his UFC debut, but like looking back a couple fights and seeing that he went to a split decision with a 40-year-old Zach Makovsky like a year and a half ago, that's not filling me with confidence. I just think that most flyweight fights, unless you really know both dudes and you can tell that there's a massive gap between them, should not be this wide. So, Toutmaster, probably going Viagra. I need that Ayman Zahabi bump. I need to catch myself back up a little bit. Maybe a bet. We'll see. I think definitely over 1.5 would be like one of those safer parlay kind of pieces. There's Bovada, I think, has that -220. So yeah, I'd be
shocked if it doesn't go over 1.5.
Yeah, because I think even if Asu's getting the finish, it's probably a later sub, because that's usually how he wins, and that's usually how Viagra loses, you know? Long-lasting. Maybe not all that long-lasting. Certainly not more than 4 hours. Heavy weights. This is the one that the people came to see. Got Robespierre Despain, good old Frenchman, but he's Cuban or something. Deported, defected, one of those things. Taking on the king of the Midwest himself. The long lost Parisian, Carbo. His back's against the wall here. They just got him plastered to the wall. They're hucking spaghetti at him, seeing what sticks. Sean, is anything going to stick for old Carbo this time?
Let's hope that he sticks to this Frenchman that's from Cuba. Just doing a little bit of reading on this bang. He's obviously a very big, very good Taekwondo guy. Bronze in the Olympics, has the longest wingspan in the UFC, 87 inches. It's pretty wild. What happens if a guy just like holds on to him or just trips him a bit?
Are they allowed to throw punches in Taekwondo?
Yes, right? That's not only kicking, right?
But like nobody does because you've got so much more range to kick. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like body.
That. Maybe contact he did karate. Because he's got an 87-inch wingspan. Yeah. I don't know.
Gaps to the body all day, winning you a bronze in the Olympics.
Is it possible that he just smokes Parisian and knocks him out quick? I mean, look at his record. He's got 2 wins in under 4 seconds. Like who is he fighting? This is bananas. I don't know. I think there's an okay shot that Parisian can slow this fight down, grind on him, maybe take him down. When he's had success lately, it's been him taking guys down. Like Bado is obviously a way better kickboxer. He took that guy down a bunch. And usually it's it's him getting taken down when he's getting smashed out. And that's obviously not going to happen here. So I'll probably pick Parisian, and you gotta look at the overs.
Wes?
Well, a fucking course you do. You got a fucking carbo load here serving a fucking plates of pasta. This motherfucker, like, this dude, his four fights, his opponents had one fight between all four of them. He's smoking dudes that ain't even had a fight. Like, what are we doing here? This guy's this big a price over fucking, I mean, it's carbo, but fuck, man, this guy's got like legitimate fucking fights in the UFC and stuff. Like, I don't get it, man. I don't know if I'm going to bet carbo here. He's absolutely going to be a pick and Toutmaster it. What is he sitting at now? Like, he's plus 270 against this fucking guy. And man, that over at plus, it's up over plus 200 now.
225.
Like, what are we doing, man? Like, these are two guys. One's got four fights against four dudes with a fight between all four of them. Carbo, who just is going to grab this guy. He's going to grab and he's going to fucking try to get this fucking shit slow and dirty. And God damn, that's a fucking, it's what you want to see when you put your money on the fatty. So I love over 1.5 here at a price like that. It's auto. Heavyweights 1.5 at fucking plus 225. That's auto. Parisian would be the pick. Might throw a little bit on Parisian. Maybe Parisian by decision. What is that number? It's got to be like massive. It's got to be a massive number.
It's
currently 900.
Yeah. 900.
I'm going to throw like, you know, some fucking sandwich money on old carbo low decision.
Definitely hitting the over. Probably going to play carbo. Cause like, if I'm thinking it's going over, it's not because this dude's doing his taekwondo spinny shit to him for 7.5 minutes. I don't know if I can do the decision though. I think I might go with little round two, round three pokes. Cause honestly, anyone who thinks that they have any clue what this fight is going to look like after 3 minutes is fucking kidding themselves.
How long's that guy been? How long's he been in a fight?
I think his first fight was 4 minutes and 54 seconds of the first round.
Brad, may I offer you something?
What's that?
Parisian over 1.5 same game parlay plus 550.
Okay. Okay.
So as long as it goes, if over, even if he gets a finish,
it just means that he can't get like the immediate takedown and finish, which I don't think is going to happen.
What is round two and round three, Parisian?
At Bet Online, they were 18-20.
That it might be a little better.
That might be better than the decision. Yeah.
I legitimately don't. Maybe this guy has some sort of defensive grappling and can make it to a decision if he gets taken down, but I would be shocked based on the amount of training that he's had, how old he is, the guys that he's fought. Is he even like at a real camp? Is he training with like your fucking, I don't know, whatever, Sanford, Kilcliffe,
what is his
calling
camp?
Themselves.
I mean, he's down in Florida, so I would imagine he's training at somewhere decent.
Probably training at Colby's shit.
I mean, I don't know. See, they got him ranked in Texas, though.
But that's because he fought Fury, which is all
or Texas, Titan. He fought Titan. And Fury, yeah.
So something like that. Anyway, we just don't know. So I'm gonna take like a bunch of plus 200 and hires and much hires on the somewhat known versus the complete unknown here. Also, I went back and I tried to find pictures of the guys that he's fought. Only one of the dudes that he's fought so far has a picture on either Tapology or Sherdog, and it's from about a decade ago, and that dude was a middleweight back then. So, yeah, those are the type of dudes that he's fighting. So maybe he comes out, blows his doors off. I will take a little bet that he won't. Way too long on that one, but it was important. Light heavyweight division, Felipe Lins, Ion Cutelaba. Do you think Felipe Lins could be like the PFL Bellator crossover star if he stayed over in the PFL instead of coming to the UFC for $20,000 a fight?
It didn't seem like the best business decision.
That was not a good, not a good business. You should fire that man, whoever told you to do that. Unless you are the one who, you and only you, decided to do that. And
that was an MMA manager thing. And I'm sure he got 10% of that million that he won over in PFL too.
He's an idiot too. Oh man, yeah. I'm picking Cutelaba. Lin's just, I know he's got some wins. He just doesn't really do much. I think that Cutelaba throws enough volume on the feet that, you know, he either catches him or stifles him, and maybe Cutelaba even gets some takedowns and some ground and pound. I don't know if he finishes him, but I'll be picking the Cutelaba.
Wesley.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one for me, man. I could just see this playing out a couple different ways because of Cutelaba. Like, if the dude that shows up last time shows up, like, he's got a really good chance to finish Lins. Like, he fought a really good, smart fight against Bowser. But, like, is that dude going to show up?
Are you relying on that?
The three fights before that idiot fucking Cutelaba showed up and got finished in every fucking one of them. So, like, Lins isn't bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a dude that he could exploit if dumb Cutelaba shows up. He could exploit that man. So, this is, I don't know, it seems like a tough one to me. The under 1.5, I think that might get there because – You pretty much know either which way what you're going to get out of the Cutelaba. If he's going to fight a smart fight, he's probably going to try to get a takedown on Lins and drop. Like, he's got insane ground and pound. He will probably get Lins out of there if he can get that early takedown. But if he doesn't, man, like, we've seen what happens to him over and over if shit doesn't go his way early. Like, he ends up getting finished in a fight. And Lins has got some pop and shit, man. Like, he could get Cutelaba out of there. So, I don't know. The only angle I'm really looking at is maybe the under. I could see either one of these dudes winning. Right now, I'm kind of leaning dumb Cutelaba shows up and Lins pulls something off here. So he'll be the pick, but I don't know. This is just a fight I don't have a really good read on.
I would very much agree with that last sentiment. Yeah, there's a lot of options on this card of places that I like to bet. I do lean towards the Cutelaba, but... like, do I really want to be trusting that dude with my money? Yeah. Not particularly. So I'll probably pass. He's the pick for me. If we're getting wild on Saturday night, four fights in, maybe we've got a little bet on him, but I doubt it. I think I've got an early Rock game this Saturday too. It's like 5 o'clock instead of 7. So I'll be back by like 8 or 9, catch the good prelims. And yeah, anyway, moving on, middleweight division, Michel Pereira against Michal, the Candyman, Oliver Candy. Sean.
I think I might have bet on the Candyman literally every fight he's been in some sort of way. Even when he was a big favorite, I was playing him by knockout and probably losing money, but I've backed this guy a ton. I think this is a tough matchup for him. I know, you know, our buddy Michel Pereira has done a lot of stupid shit in the past. It seems like he's kind of calmed that down. And he's just beating guys with what he has. I think he can probably take down Oliver Candy and do some damage on the ground. And on the feet, it's probably definitely closer. but Pereira probably is able to get, you know, leg kicks going and just out physical the Candyman, unfortunately.
Westy.
Yeah, like Sean, I've been on the Candyman quite a bit. I think this is a really bad matchup for him. If this was going to be straight up kickboxing, I think he'd have a decent chance in this, but I just think Pereira's probably going to get a couple takedowns in this fight. The Candyman, that's just still his problem. He doesn't have the best takedown defense. It's not horrible. Like, there's definitely worse, but when guys can get him down in fights, man, it's bad for him. He just doesn't know what to do off of his back. We watched it over and over. Dudes, his past few losses outside of Jacoby were dudes that could just take him down and work him over. So if Pereira can get takedowns here, I think he can. I think he's the bigger, stronger guy in this fight. I think he can get a win here. I mean, now if this stays up for 15 minutes, then it's a whole lot closer fight, but I'm just not sure it does. So I like Pereira here. Not sure I'm going to bet him though.
Yeah, these ones are always kind of tricky with Pereira just because he's usually so much more athletic than whoever he's facing. And I think that's kind of the case here. Does the Candyman have enough in his arsenal striking wise that he's not just going to get rinsed by a fast straight right down the middle? Like, who was it that he faced last time?
Our boy, Petrovsky.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's fucking smoked Petrovsky.
Lost some money on that one.
I don't think that's going to happen to the Candyman. So, again, do I want to trust that Pereira is going to go out there and fight smart? I know he's been fighting smarter, but he is coming off a massive knockout. Is he going to fall back in love with his hands and want to strike more? Just not something that I feel particularly comfortable betting with a minus beside his name. So I guess I kind of lean towards the Candyman, but again, another one where there's probably better spots on the card. So probably end up passing. Bantamweight division. Stuff's starting to get, like, that one should be pretty good, but we're starting to get in some good stuff now. Pedro Munhoz taking on Kyler Phillips, a guy that once upon a time we were all way too high on. Sean?
We were. And this dude just doesn't fight very often. And when he does, like, sometimes he looks very good and other times he does not. Bit surprised by this number. I know Pedro Munhoz is very old and I'm a guy that will play that angle a good amount with the young fighter against the older fighter, but man, Munhoz has been in there with the elite of the elite. I know he took a bit of a step down against Gutierrez and he did what he should in that fight. And then he fought a tough fight against Marlon Vera, who's obviously just a better striker. Is Phillips going to be able to get Munhoz down? I don't know if he's going to be able to do that because Munhoz has pretty damn good takedown defense. I don't know if he's going to be able to keep him down there, even if he does get it down there. And then on the feet, Pedro's got to just throw more volume. That's when he's throwing a good amount of volume, he's usually winning these fights. When he's not throwing as much, then he's losing kind of close-ish decisions. So I think he keeps it on the feet, and just I'm hoping he throws a good amount of volume. So I'm going to be taking Pedro Munhoz at like plus 175.
Wes?
Yeah, I mean, Pedro's getting older, but I mean, just competitive against beat Rivera, competitive against Aldo, competitive against Cruz, was beating the shit out of fucking O'Malley, who is in a title fight on this card. Smoked Gutierrez, was fairly competitive against Barry, just got out volumed. And that's this fight. You're betting, will Pedro throw enough volume to win a decision here? Phillips isn't getting consistent takedowns on fucking Pedro Munhoz. It ain't fucking happening. This is going to be 15 minutes of kickboxing. Will Pedro throw enough to get a couple rounds here? I mean, at plus 175, I'll fucking find out. So give me Pedro Munoz, like him by decision, but just take that money line. Hopefully that was enough.
Throw another shrimp on the Barbie. I'm doing the same. This isn't going to be the consensus, though. So that tells you that this card's either going to be very good for us, or we're all going down in flames.
We're all going to go down together this week.
I think that Phillips does a lot of weird stuff in fights, but he doesn't necessarily do a lot of effective stuff. I think that he's going to leave himself open to leg kicks, maybe some calf kicks, but Pedro Munoz, he throws some at each. So that's going to be an issue. And yeah, there's always the threat of the guillotine when you go to take down Munoz. So that usually just keeps people from trying to take him down, period. But when they do get in, he sort of reaches for the guillotine and guys kind of back off. So I don't think the takedowns are a huge path for Phillips in this one. I just see it being a striking match between a guy who is still weird and awkward on the feet against a guy who has been in there and been competitive against a lot of the best strikers in the division. So I'll take Munoz. I think it's probably by decision. Man, these numbers are getting crazy. There's plus 200 at Betway, 190 at DraftKings.
That's wild.
We're going to have some bets on Pedro Munoz this weekend. That is for sure. Lightweight division. Damn, another good one.
Yep.
Mateus Gamrot, Rafael Dos Anjos. Sean, it's a non-USADA Rafael Dos Anjos, but it's also almost 40 Rafael Dos Anjos coming back down to lightweight for the first time in a couple years. What's going on here?
Yeah, I love RDA, but yeah, this is not going to be good. This is a tough matchup for him. I think Gamrot's just going to be able to get takedowns, replicate a lot of what Luque was able to do last time out. He is coming down in weight, but Gamrot's a very good wrestler for 155. Dos Anjos can take an ass kicking, so I don't think Gamrot's going to get him out of there. But you can't really play Gamrot by decision at minus 145 because that is a steep price to pay for a guy to win by decision. But I think that's the way it happens. Sucks for RDA, but it's the way she goes, I guess. It's tough in the old lightweight at the top.
Yeah, not too many great things happen to 40-year-old lightweights that aren't named Jim Miller.
Yeah.
Wes?
Yeah, I mean, RDA's as tough as a sun-dried fucking mountain yam, but this is not good.
I don't even know what that is.
Nobody does. It gets the people going, though. I like Gamrot here. Man, that price is a little steep. I'm hoping widely available. It maybe gets a little better, but I like Gamrot by decision here. I think RDA is tough as fuck. I don't think Gamrot's game is going to get – he doesn't really do anything that's going to finish RDA, I don't think. That man is just – it's very, very hard for the best fighters in the world to get RDA out of a fight. So I like that decision, man. 145 is a little steep, though. If nothing opens better, that's something I'm probably going to take, though. I'm just going to lay it. Gamrot, parlay piece. It's a little juicy at this point. I think it's up to minus 450 or something. So, but I like Gamrot by decision here. I think this is a really bad matchup for almost 40-year-old RDA coming down to 155 again. I don't know what this man's doing.
Yeah, I don't understand why. Like, he took it because he's RDA and he's the kind of guy that'll take pretty much every fight, but he just got out wrestled by up a weight class, mind you, but by a much worse wrestler than this guy. So I don't see any reason why he's not going to get out wrestled here. I don't think that that was a size issue so much as just like a being old and not being able to defend takedowns very well anymore issue.
It was bad too, man. It was really bad.
Yeah. So let's, we'll move on. Line's too steep for me to play anything on Gamrot, and you gotta love RDA. So I'm not betting against him. All right. Whew.
The banger of the card, baby.
We gotta buckle up. Buckle up for this one. Women's flyweight division. Macy, the future hairstylist, taking on. Oh, I meant to get like a record scratch sound ready for when I was about to say the Caitlin Mook again. Because breaking news, name change. I don't even know if we can call her the Mook again. I think we might have a new name on the docket here for the old Mook. She's the Inserminator now. You know, if you live in one of those states like Alabama and you can't get the IVF anymore, you call up the Inserminator. She gets the job done. She gets in there. She takes care of business.
Well, did you see her interviews and shit to where she's talking about how she can't get pregnant? And shit? Brad's like all in on that shit. It's coming to him.
Layered.
It's like
layered. All right. Anyway, Sean, it blows my mind. I don't know if she's the same person anymore. I don't know if she's the same fighter. I don't know. This fight needs to be in the apex because I want nothing more than no crowd noise. I mean, there's not going to be any during this fight anyway.
Do you cap mom quit? Do you cap mom quitting this? Like, she's not a mom, but did she quit trying to be a mom because it just ain't happening? Like, it's just a different level of mom quit.
I just don't
know how to cap this. Don't know
what to tell you. I that's even another plane of existence that I haven't reached yet. So, you know, that's next level shit. What's going to happen here, Sean? Are we going to get just like a million hups and grunts and no actual punches that land over 15 minutes? Is it going to be just an epic clash?
I hope so. Because if that's happening, the artist formerly known as Mook again is probably winning. I was going to go with the hyphenated Marinara. I was going to go with the hyphenated Marinara Mook again. But you guys went at a different angle at it. Basically, like lately, if you aren't elite, then the Mook again beats you. I don't think Macy Barber is elite. So this is going to be a close fight, and Mook again somehow wins these close fights. So her at +170, I'm probably going to have to bet on her. Thanks.
Wes.
I think I'm like flipping to the other side of mom quit on this one. I think she's so engulfed in rage that she can't be a mom again. So I think Barber might be in trouble here. The old artist formerly known, she might put that Alabama fucking no IVF fucking rage on her in this one, man. That line's just +170. Like, we've seen Barber enough now to where even in fights to where she looks good and should be blowing chicks out, in the end, she makes rounds close, second and third rounds close. She's got split decisions against fucking what's her name, the Nazi chick that just got smoked again. She was going to split decisions with her like last year, the year, like not long ago. So, man, the Mook, the artist formerly known has been very, very good to us the past few years. So I'm gonna ride one more time and hopefully the good vibes of her winning us some money, maybe we'll put some IVF in her life and she can be a future mom quit. Like, don't they all deserve like that in their life? A future mom quit? Shout out Sarah McMahon. You know,
something to strive for.
Yeah. I'm thinking the same thing. This line to me is a complete overreaction to the future hairstylist fighting one of the chinniest, decent female fighters that we've ever seen in the UFC. He was just like, she can't take great shots. And every once in a while, Barber throws one of those wild, hard punches and lands it. And she landed one on the right person. And I don't think that's going to happen in this fight. I think there will probably be very few moments in this fight where Barber is in punching range of the Inserminator. You can't. Maybe that's the problem. She never lets him get close. That's why she can't, you know. No? Maybe? No? Anyway, I actually didn't know that before Wes pointed it out. It just was a happy coincidence that was the name that I came up with for her.
Joyous.
Makes it funnier to me.
Perfect. Perfect.
Oh, my mind was actually blown when I was like,
I just thought he did know about that.
And I did too.
I don't pay attention to this shit. Come on.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Anyway, I already took some Mook at, it was plus 180, plus 185. Something like that at Bet Online. So I made my rare early week bet.
CLV, so baby.
In the books. Next up, speaking of in the books, nobody hits up the prison library like the jail man. Tremendously well-read individual, so I'm told. And he's taking on Curtis Blaydes. Is he still the future champion here, Sean? He's been a future champion for a long time.
I mean, it's heavyweight, so everybody's future champion at some point. It's just like, you just need to last. You just need to not be 80 years old.
It's like Miranda Maverick territory at this point.
Yeah, how long he's fair. Been a future champ. That's fair. The jail man looked very bad in a very decisive win against Lewis. Now, of course, this is heavyweights, and I guess most people he could do that to. It's just you would hope that he would have finished there and finished fairly quickly. I don't know what it is about Derek Lewis, but for some reason, some people can't choke guys out, choke them out.
He's got that like Roy Nelson defense on the ground where the big belly kind of gets in the way and throws people off balance.
You got to balance the belly. I mean, no one's better. No one's better than Lewis.
No neck though either. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, that is a struggle.
Sits on his shoulders. You know what I'm saying?
It's probably uncomfortable being on top of him with his balls being so hot too.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a fire. It's a fire hazard. A lot of reasons. It's fair. I don't think the jail man's going to get takedowns. And if this is on the feet, I think I'll take Curtis Blaydes' shitty jab over whatever the jail man's going to throw. Especially if this gets extended, because if he shoots some takedowns and fails, he's going to get tired. If this was a 5-round fight, this is obviously a completely just different kind of play for me. But I still think Curtis Blaydes is the better guy. I've been burned by him many a time before, and I will probably do the same on Saturday, but I'm going to back Curtis Blaydes to win.
Wes?
I really, really like the jail man, but I think in the very first instant that guy faced any sort of, and it wasn't like serious resistance, it was just a little bit of resistance, man, he got gassy. He started going safe and just laying. It wasn't a good look. And you know, looking back on the guys that he's, you know, finished and beat in the UFC, like, man, it's not great, bro. You know, like, he's did the business, don't get me wrong, but he has fought some of the worst dudes that you could imagine. Like, do I still think the guy's, you know, insane for a heavyweight? He's still only 32. The jujitsu that he's got and shit. Yeah, I mean, he's insane. But, man, I think Sean's kind of right. If he can't get Blades down consistently, which a hard – if this was a five-round fight, this would probably be a pretty big bet on Curtis Blades for me. It's not, so it's not going to be a huge bet. But, man, I lean Blades as well. I just think if this is on the feet, like, it's not a huge advantage, but he's got a weapon that can win this fight easily. He could jab fucking Jailman to death if this stays on the feet. Man, can Jailman get consistent takedowns on Curtis Blades? I just don't see it, man. Like Blades here. It's heavyweights. Like, shit happens. I kind of like a little fatty here, too. I know it's juiced up now. It's minus 145 in some spots. But I really see this going. This might go 15 minutes. Whoever wins. Like, I think if Jailman does get a couple takedowns, he's laying on top of Blades. Blades is going to try to scramble, might scramble back up. If this is on the feet, Blades is going to jab him to death. I don't think he's laying anything. Like, Jailman doesn't extend himself in exchanges and shit. He doesn't put himself in bad spots to get caught with anything. I think it's a slow fight either which way. So I like over 1.5 at around minus 145. So that and small play on Blades, probably not going to be as good as fight as we were all expecting and hoping for.
Yeah, I could see this one being kind of a dud, but I'm still going to stick with my dude. Still sticking with the Jailman here. Curtis Blades doesn't really have guys that try and grapple him. And the ones who have tried really at any point in his UFC career have been able to do it. You have to go back quite a ways to find those guys. But I think it's realistic to think that the Jailman can get takedowns. And I don't necessarily know that he needs to get consistent takedowns here, because we've seen he can stay on top of even guys that can just whoop, get up with absolutely nothing. Like, he has some insane, better than his finishing ability or anything like that, which we all now question a little bit. His control on the ground is insane. If he gets on top of Blades, I think that he's probably staying on top of Blades for the rest of that round. And I think it's completely reasonable that he can do that twice. On the feet, Blades has his jab. The Jailman's probably got front kicks to the body. That's pretty much what he uses to close the distance all the time. Frank is not wrong. I could also see a scenario here where Blades shoots a shitty takedown on the Jailman, gets stuffed, and ends up on the bottom. So, do I feel great about it at this price? No. I'd love to see some plus money on the Jailman for once, but I think I'm going to have to stick with my dude. I'm going to have to take it. So we'll have a little play on the Jailman.
Just that last performance, man, is, it's tough. He's got to show something in this one. I mean, this is a massive step up, I think, coming off of that last performance. Like,
Curtis Blades even top five?
Yeah, in the heavyweight division. Yeah, I mean, there's only like four or five guys, you know what I'm saying, that are like generally decent that could win on a given night. Like, I think Blades is one of them.
I think the difference in the way that I'm looking at this fight is that I think the Jailman can win it with basically the same performance.
Yeah.
You're comparing Curtis Blades and Derek Lewis. That's wild for grappling.
He could. Yeah, he could. I have a hard time seeing that. That's why I'm picking Blades.
That's fair.
But you're right. If he does stumble into like two takedowns, that's two rounds for Jailman probably. Like, his controlling big dudes on the mat, like holding them down, is insane. Like, Derek Lewis would get up on almost anybody, and that guy.
Speaking of which, what happened when both these guys fought Lewis, right? One of them was in there with him for 25 minutes.
What's a dummy?
Not a scratch. The other one, what happened?
Let's bring Frank back up here. One is that has a white IQ of a fence post. The other one doesn't.
If you haven't seen the comments on last week's YouTube video, Frank had some absolute beauties there. So we appreciate that.
Like and subscribe, comment. We need like, we don't need shit. Thanks for the comments.
Long at this point, we obviously do not give a shit if you like or subscribe. We do appreciate the comments, though. The comments are fun.
The interaction's excellent. We got,
yes, sir.
Our boy LR.
Best part about doing these live. Main card time now. Bantamweight division. We're going to start and end it. I believe they call that bookending with the Bantamweight division. The guy that if you asked everybody a few years ago, who would be Bantamweight champion in 2024 is kicking off the card. Peter Yan taking on Yedong Song. Sean.
I understand that Peter Yan has lost 3 straight and 4 of the last 5, but this number is stupid. Those are save for the O'Malley fight, which he won, but he lost. Those are tough matchups against elite fighters, and O'Malley's now the champion. So, Yedong's not, that was only a year and a bit ago that he lost a pretty one-sided, he got finished, but it was a pretty one-sided fight against Corey Sandhagen. He's improved a bit, but Peter Yan is still elite, in my opinion. He's just fought very hard competition. He's going to get back on track here. He's going to mix up the striking and the grappling. And I think, Yedong's takedown defense looked better against Simone, but Simone was absolutely, there was no interaction between his striking and his takedowns. He was shooting blindly, and those are going to fail. Peter Yan can flow between striking and grappling, and he's going to do that, and he's going to win a 3-round decision.
Wes?
Yeah, I made some decent money on Yedong the past couple of fights. The Ricky Simone one, I had a really good bet on him there. I thought that was a good matchup for him. Man, I think people are forgetting just how good Yan is. Just looking at his record, his past few fights, I think we all agree it didn't seem like very, very wide, but it was concise and clear. It's one of the biggest robberies I've seen recently over O'Malley. Every fucking person on the planet thought, even O'Malley bettors that took that shit, he won that fight. Marab's Marab. That's a bad matchup for probably anybody in the division at this point. The Sandhagen win's good. Just the guy is so fucking good. He's fighting the elite of the elite. And then I just think this is a good matchup for him, man. Guys that come and throw power, a little bit of volume, but are throwing power shots that are trying to get you out of there like Song does, which – he's improved on that. He's got a little bit more technical and volume to his striking now than he did when he fought Sandhagen and stuff. But it's not to this level. Peter Yan eats guys like this up, man. You have to threaten him with takedowns and mix your game up to beat a guy like him. Song doesn't do that. He's pretty one-dimensional at this point. It's a good dimension. He does very well with it. Yan's just on another level, man. I think people are forgetting how fucking good this guy is. This line is crazy to me. What a couple years ago, what's Yan to Song? This version of Song, he's a minus 250 favorite, right? You know what I'm saying? This line is just kind of crazy to me. I love Yan in this fight. I think he puts on a striking. Like Sean mentioned, there might not be a better bantamweight that flows and mixes his threat of a takedown to his striking and back and forth than Peter Yan does. It's incredible to watch. I think we're going to see that Saturday. I love him in this fight. It's going to be a sizable bet for me on Peter Yan.
So the last time that Yan was this price, was the first fight against Aljo. It was basically even. Since then, minus 250 against Sandhagen, minus 450 against Aljo the second time, almost minus 300 against O'Malley, almost minus 300 against Merab. And now, after getting out recency bias wrestled by the dude who literally broke MMA, he's back to even money against a significantly worse opponent. Like Song is, it's been fun to watch this dude improve over the past several years. He came in as somebody that none of us really took all that seriously, and he's developed into a very good top 15 type of bantamweight. But he's facing a guy that is still, well, I guess you can't say the best bantamweight in the world, but he's a top three bantamweight at this point. So I don't get it. I don't see the path where Song wins this fight 50% of the time. I think if it's on the feet, he's going to get out-volumed. I think he can get taken down. I don't think he can get his own takedowns in this fight. There's just so many disadvantages here that unless Jan is just a broken person from that Merab fight, then he should absolutely win this. So minus 118 at Bet Online. Looks like there's minus 115 at DraftKings for people that can get that. That is going to be our consensus bet of the week. Peter Yan getting back on track. And as you said, Frank, gift. I think this is one that we might be able to look back on Saturday night and call it a bit of a gift. So I will certainly take advantage of it. It's going to be, we're going to get into the multiple units. I'm usually, you know, the one unit a play guy or half and quarter on my stupid props, but we're going to get into a couple multiples when it comes to old Peter Yan. Welterweight division. Gilbert Burns. He was hanging out at like the Heat game last night or something on fight week. Taking it seriously, very seriously. Taking on old JDM, Jack Della Maddalena, everybody's favorite guy who can throw some strikes. And are we still convinced he can do other things? Do we have any clue, Sean?
We have a clue that he's grappling is subpar. We can see that when he fights guys on a couple hours notice, as well as against, you know, also not amazing guys like Ramazan Ameev and Ange Lusa. This price was like minus 110, minus 115 on Burns for a very, very long time. It's been creeping up a bit. And then all of a sudden, 5 days ago, somebody just unloaded on Jack Della Maddalena. And now you are getting Gilbert Burns at plus 145, 150. Like, that seems wild to me. The competition that these guys have faced is very, very big. I think Gilbert Burns, if he's going to have success, he's going to have to get takedowns. And I think he's going to be able to get some takedowns on Jack Della Maddalena. And I think he's going to be able to keep him down and win two of the rounds and survive the last one. Gilbert Burns is a pretty tough guy. So I think he gets a couple of rounds. So at plus 150, that's going to be a play for me.
Wesley.
This, you know, Maddalena, his past two fights went to split decisions with some dude named Basil and Kevin Holland. And you think I'm not taking plus 135 on Gilbert Burns against this
guy? And Kevin Holland could easily have won that fight if he gave any sort of fucks.
Yep. Gilbert Burns is usually a fairly decent high IQ fighter. I think he knows what he needs to do to win this fight. He's going to get in close. He's going to try to get a hold of. I think he's going to get some takedowns here. Like, at this kind of price, I think it's just hard to pass up Burns against a dude that, like I said, just went to split decisions against a guy named Basil and Kevin fucking Holland. So I'll take a little bit of Gilbert Burns here as a dog.
Yeah, I'm starting to get there myself. Might end up looking at the sub prop. There's some plus 360s, plus 380s out there. I think that is a very reasonable play if he does actually go for takedowns. I think the reason that I'm going with that instead of just the money line is because Gilbert Burns has some urinal cake IQ in some fights as well. Like, if we're all thinking, oh man, if he just goes out there and gets takedowns, he can control it, maybe get the sub. This dude's probably going to come out and just wing some haymakers for about 7 minutes and then be exhausted. So a little bit hesitant as far as the money line goes. I do very much see the ability for him to grab a sub at like triple the number though. So I think that's where I'll look on this one, but not going to be very heavily invested for me. Sticking in the welterweight division, the guy that just lost to Jack Della Maddalena, one fight ahead of him on the card, because the way they structure these things makes sense. Kevin Holland taking on Michael Page. Apparently we're supposed to care that Michael Page is now in the UFC. Sean, I can see you just brimming with excitement.
I don't know if they're really pushing him that hard. I think they're pushing him a little bit because, yeah, he is a free agent signing and he has some fucking cool knockouts against who he's got those knockouts on. But I do think they kind of know he's old and we just need to put him in fun fights that they're not pushing him too aggressively. I don't know what the fuck is going to happen in this fight. I'm staying away. I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy the shit baggery that's going to happen in the fight because, talking about urinal cake IQ, we got Kevin Holland in this fight. And you got MVP who's a fucking unknown that does wild shit, but can he really stop a takedown if Holland actually tried? Maybe. I'll probably pick MVP and Del Master because he's a dog, because I think this is going to be a dumb fight and I have no idea how it's gonna play out.
Wes?
If I knew Kevin Holland wasn't going to do dumb shit and like maybe not care like in a third round against Maddalena. On the contrary,
Kevin Holland is 100% going to do dumb shit.
I know. Like this would be like a pretty banger of a bet for me. Like I literally 9 times out of 10, I think a focused, stupid fuck Holland smokes MVP at this point. Like, have people watched MVP lately? What, he got a liver kick or some shit on fucking old ass, what's his name, his last time out, Yamaguchi. Like, Storley. Yeah, like fucking Storley, like, grappled the shit out of him. Like, Holland's got a path here. If he takes it, it's an easy fucking win against MVP. But, of course, man, like, who knows what Holland's going to do here? MVP does, like, say what you will. The guy catches dumb shit on people that do dumb things. So, that's a guy lined up in front of him most times. And Kevin Holland going to do some dumb shit. So, I'll probably stay away, man. Holland's going to be a pick for me, though. I think as far as level of fighter here, Holland is way better than MVP at this point. You just don't know who's going to show up. So it's hard to put any kind of money on that. Holland's a pick, probably a total pass for me.
I took Holland. I had to. He's just a way better fighter at basically even money here. We know that he's got one fucking hell of a chin. So even if he gets cracked by something stupid or a couple something stupids from MVP, I think he's going to be able to eat it. And that might be the trigger for him to, you know, even if he doesn't go and try and get takedowns, if he gets in the clinch, He's very good in the clinch, and he can beat the shit out of MVP from inside if he wants to. So that's a possibility for him. He could get takedowns here. But honestly, if this stays at range, are we really convinced that MVP is just going to beat the shit out of Kevin Holland?
Like, no, I'm not.
I don't know that that's
not to beat the shit out of, but I think he's going to have a striking advantage. I mean, we saw what Wonder Boy did a bit that distance against Holland. So
do we think MVP is anywhere near the level of striker that Wonder Boy is? Like, come on, man. Like, I get all the hype for him coming to UFC and shit. He's got some wild shit. He's like crushing the skulls of fucking 35-year-old cyborg dude. And like, come on, man. Like, this guy isn't like, I think we're just getting crazy here. He is even money to Kevin Holland in a fucking UFC fight. He's 36 years old or something like that now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a little,
This might be the first time ever that he's also fighting somebody that's as tall and long as him, which usually really fucks those guys up.
Lima kind of was when Lima caught him and knocked him out. Lima's like sort of his size.
Pretty big, but he's not Holland size.
He's not Holland size, no. But like when MVP did fight a guy who wasn't completely washed after that, but a dude with some range and could throw and shit, he clipped him and knocked him the fuck out. So
there we go. Anyway, I grabbed some Holland -130. So that one is on the board for me as well. Co-main event time, lightweight division. Dustin Poirier taking on Benoit Saint-Denis. Two guys who should definitely have their names pronounced with a French intonation anytime they're said. No, this Poirier crap. Sean, what's going to happen?
Poirier. It's Poirier.
Hot sauce. It's the new hot sauce.
I haven't tried his hot sauce. I should probably give back to the community or whatever. Get some.
There's definitely a million things worse that you could buy from a fighter than his hot sauce.
You could be
probably like the much best worse thing people to buy.
Yeah.
Not buying like Black Rifle coffee or anything like that.
No doubt. <tell. laughs>
They probably need to send us a check after we said their name.
Oh my goodness. This is a big step up for Saint-Denis. I mean, obviously, when you go from fighting Matt Frivola to Dustin Poirier next, that's quite a big jump. But I think this is a bad matchup for Poirier. I think Saint-Denis is going to grapple, and he's going to be able to take down Poirier. And he's probably going to get a finish because Saint-Denis is an animal in there. It's going to be rough to see this guy that, you know, most people knows. If you're not a hardcore, you probably don't know who he is, and he's gonna fucking dust Dustin Poirier. Man, age comes for us all. I'll be putting Saint-Denis in a parlay.
Wesley.
Yeah, man, Poirier has given us some incredible, incredible fights over the years. Like, he lost to him last time, but him and Gaethje over the past 5 or 6 years, 7 years, just there's few more action fighters that you could name outside of those couple guys. But look, man, Poirier is 35 at this point. He's been in all of those wars. Just got fucking shellacked last time by Gaethje. Now he's got just a 28, 29-year-old fucking animal in front of him that is going to be putting on the pressure, coming straight forward at him. If Poirier doesn't catch some like crazy shit and get Saint-Denis out of there, it's going to be very, very bad for Poirier. He's starting to look old already. He's going to look very, very old Saturday night. It's not going to be a good look. I think Saint-Denis at 2-1 is a fucking gift. And I have him already in multiple things. I have a really big parlay with him and Anthony Joshua Friday. That's one of my bigger bets of the weekend. I think this is going to be very bad for Dustin, and you're getting a gift of a line on St. Denis. St. Denis might be, he could be a future champion. That guy's legit. I think he's going to do bad things to Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, we've got some dissent going on in the chat. Steve likes the late round Poirier props. I'm just not convinced that the big swing in Denis ever stops.
Ooh,
nope.
Maybe he dipped into some of that CJ Viagra before the fight. just keeps going. Yeah, I mean, if the his debut against old Eliza wasn't a good hint that even when he's taking a beating, he's still got ridiculous cardio. I think everything that we've seen from him since then has kind of driven that point home. Massive step up in competition, but I think it's kind of a smart step up in a guy that, yeah, he's been fighting top fighters, but he's fighting all of the same top fighters that are kind of aging at the same time that he is. And it looks like they're all starting to physically fall off quite a bit. So I just don't know that he can stick around for 25 minutes with a guy who's coming to rip his head off and isn't going to stop doing that until it happens. So picking Denis, I don't necessarily know that I'm as confident as Wes in it and going to throw him in all my parlays. I think if he struggles here, it's actually going to be early when Poirier can catch him and be a little bit slicker before he gets tired and kind of overwhelmed. And that's really the only thing making me a bit hesitant to go bigger on him. But I'll probably have to have Denis in something. He's the big swinging Denis. I mean, undeniable.
The guy's legit. Like, he's...
He is.
He's very, very...
He hasn't done it against the greatest competition.
Yep.
Warranted. But...
It's the way he fights. The way he fights is a problem in MMA. If you can wrestle and you have cardio on a chin, you're a fucking problem. And that guy has got that in spades. It's going to be bad.
Yes, sir. There you go. Main event time. Back to the bantamweight division. Sean O'Mookie. Marlon Chito Vera. The rematch that nobody but Sean O'Malley and Marlon Vera asked for. But honestly, it's still going to be a fun fight, I think. So, Sean, break it down.
Yeah, is Chito really in too much of... There's not many times where he's in kind of shitty, low-action fights. He's got the chin to have fun fights, and I think that's going to be a big thing that it helps him here, because I think he's going to have to eat a bunch of shots. I've definitely underestimated O'Malley, lost a ton of money against him. I'm betting him against him again here. Vera, he's absolutely durable. He's never been dropped in his entire UFC history. He's going to have to take shots here, but I think he can land some leg kicks and land some big shots. And, you know, I'm curious to see what O'Malley can do, you know, later into fights. He doesn't fight that long. In a gritty fight, Vera's going to make this gritty. I don't think he's going to be able to just tap away at Vera the whole time and not get hit by him. So it's going to be a gritty fight. I'll take Vera's durability, big power, calf kicks, kind of small play. Numbers ballooning. It was like +170, +180 around there for most of the time it's been out, and all of a sudden now it's +230. So The bet might be getting bigger, so I'm going to lose more money on Sean O'Malley.
At least this time you're losing it at a plus number instead of a minus number, like I did.
Very true.
So that makes it feel a bit better. Wes?
Hopefully.
Yeah, I took a bad one on my boy Aljo. You know, props to O'Malley. Like, that was a legitimate win. I gave him his respect after that. I still don't think he's like great. Like, there's so many people that crowned him after that. I get it. Like, I guess I get it. You beat the dude, you beat the champ, props. I just, man, there's still so many. If Vera goes back to the same fucking game plan he had last time, he's got a shot in this fight. Like, if his chin is there to take the big shots he's probably going to eat from O'Malley. O'Malley's like, he's been outstruck by multiple guys. He just got some decent power. Like, props to him. Vera's going to need that chin. If the chin holds up, man, five rounds of Vera, like, coming forward, throwing those calf, you know he's throwing calf kicks on those fucking bird legs. Are those legs going to hold up? Like, I've looked at the pics again of O'Malley on his back crying his fucking eyes out because his legs shattered. Like, that's going to fucking happen again. Vera's going to throw those calf kicks. Can O'Malley take that shit for 25 minutes? I just, the line is so wide now to where there's paths for Vera to win this fight. And I think you got to take a small shot on him in this spot. If O'Malley catches him and that chin is just not what it used to be, or he outstrikes him over 25 minutes, so be it. If this goes 25 minutes, I like my chances with Vera at a price like that. I think just the damage is going to add up for him on those legs. That's going to be Brad's going to like bet Vera here. And on Twitter, he's going to be like, I hate calf kicks, but in this one, Vera's going to calf kick, and I hope he eats those legs up. I'm going to take a small shot on that big number. Like, O'Malley should win this fight. I think at this point, O'Malley's the better fighter. He's proven himself. He's a really good fighter. He's got power, but there's paths here, and it's a big number. So I'm going to take a little Vera.
LR, somehow we've stuck around a lot longer than a lot of fucking people in MMA. I think it's just because we're too dumb to quit. And we also don't care about being successful.
Yeah, we don't have
that's to. Like, that's the big key to unlocking your freedom.
Yeah, you don't need long form pieces on saying how shitty the MMA community and the people surrounding it are. I don't need to write a fucking long form piece on that.
We'll also never ask you to subscribe to our Substack.
We're definitely not charging you for this shit.
Man, this is a long list of fights that we're all on the same side of.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
It's bad.
At least the jail man broke that up a bit, but yeah, it's scary out there. Welcome. It's gonna be a bad night.
You're welcome. Man, Sean O'Malley has impressed the shit out of me in some of his recent fights, and I think he can out slick the fuck out of you. But that's not going to be an option in this fight for him. He is going to have to get dirty. Cheeto's going to be in his face. Cheeto's going to get punched in the face a lot early in this fight. Mm-hmm. A lot. It's just how it's going to go down, how his style always works. And O'Malley's going to find some spots. If one of those manages to be the one that finally puts Cheeto away, good on him. I'll lose some more money to Sean O'Malley, and I'll be impressed with him once again. I just think that's not how this fight goes down. I think Cheeto is going to absolutely drag him through the mud in this one. And if it gets to round 3, 4, 5, O'Malley is going to be absolutely fucking miserable in that cage. And Cheeto is going to make him work for every second that he's in there. And eventually, whether it's a stoppage, whether if he fakes another injury, whether he makes it all the way to 25 minutes and just starts to get beat up and worn down towards the end of it. I think that Cheeto's going to do his thing that he always does, where he loses early, he comes back late, he lands some big shots to steal some rounds, and then it just starts to pile up. So I'm going to hop on board the Cheeto train as well. Plus 230 out there now. Plus 235 at the Cambies. I saw some TKO up at like over plus 500. I think that might be worth a shot. If you want to get real crazy, you can start to get into like TKO 345 stuff. Because I think that has a real possibility here. But, man, there's... I think this is a very wide line for a fight that we've seen before. And I don't think plays out all that differently, because both guys... O'Malley's improved a lot, but he's improved in the other areas that aren't what Cheeto does to you. So I think it's going to be basically the same fight, just a more extended version than the one we saw back in, what was that, 2000? Pandemic times? Yummy. Ngannou did retire Lance. Kids retired Lance. No, it wasn't even kids. He still stuck around after the kids.
Mm-hmm. It was, the Eastern time zone is...
Weak. Weak. Georgia. Yeah. Georgia retired Lance. Sad. Anyway, Wes, I know you wanted, we talked a little bit about this before the show, and I know you probably want to talk about the Hog and the AJ and the Boxeo on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, not too much. That's actually a pretty fun card. You know, we got a couple of decent heavyweights on there. Parker's fighting the big Asian guy. Like, that's going to be a banger. Yeah, I mean, I like AJ. Like, and people know I'm a fucking Hog stan. Have been for years now. This is just different. This is not Tyson. This is not fat fucking Tyson Fury who's picking up a paycheck and shit. Yeah, I think AJ's gonna box fucking Hog's face off. This is not gonna be. It's not gonna be competitive. Like, does Hog have that puncher's chance? Yeah, a little bit, but like, it boxing's so much different than MMA, man. Even a guy with that kind of power, it's just different. I mean, he still doesn't throw technically good punches and shit, man. Like, you're not gonna catch a guy like AJ with some windmill punch. Even like, he caught Fury. Like, that's how much Fury cared about that. He got caught by a Ngannou windmill punch and dropped his ass, you know what I'm saying? So the line's creeping back up now, though. Earlier today, that shit was getting down to close to minus 300 or something. It's starting to go back up. So I don't know if AJ gets a finish, though. Like, Ngannou is staying fights. Like, I just – is he gonna gas, though? Is the volume and the what he eats over those rounds, will he gas? That's my question about a finish or not. I don't think it's going to be him getting knocked out so much as – will he stop punching? And they got to stop it. They could probably go some rounds. I think it might go some rounds. I know there's an AJ decision out there that's should be a good price. What did I just see?
Well, the overset around the same spot as the Hog Fury fight, that like 6.5 mark.
Yeah, I mean, there's a 7.5. There's a 7.5 at plus money. Yeah. There's a 6.5 that's juiced to 7.5 plus money. I think it goes a little bit around. AJ's not, I mean, if you watch his fights, man, he'll jab the shit out of you. He'll move and jab, move and jab, move and jab. And that's what he's going to do to Ngannou. Can Ngannou take that for 6, 7, 8, 9 rounds? Probably. I think he probably does. But I think this is a wide, wide AJ decision. And if not decision, later finish. And I liked it way more down at closer to 300. I got a bunch of shit at like minus 325, 320 and shit. My Saint Denis is like around like plus 105. I got him and AJ like plus 105. I love that. That's a, I love that bet a lot. So do with that what you will. Should be fun though. Like
Hogg's inevitable. He's gonna knock him out. Easy. Clean.
I would expected that even way more over Tyson. And I think Tyson Fury is 5 times the pure boxer that AJ is. But I thought Hogg had a way better chance of knocking out Fury than he does AJ. Just because Fury does not care. He literally does not care. AJ, this is his life. However, whatever stage his career's at now, like he's never gotten over the big hump and like still belts, but you know, fighting Fury.
He's never been the guy.
He never made the top dog, which I always thought he would. I thought he would be the top dude. He never got there. It's because that's what he is, man. He's gonna jab the shit out of you. He's not gonna get a bunch of knockouts. Got a decent chin, but he's been dropped. Like, I just think his boxing style. It's going to be really hard for Ngannou, who just still doesn't throw good punches, man. Like we've seen Ngannou punch still. It still hits hard, but it's different with fucking 12, 14, 16 ounce gloves, whatever they're using. And
10 seconds for the guy to recover. And like,
yeah, a guy that moves like AJ too, like a dude his size, it's going to be the best movement that Ngannou's ever had standing in front of him, like ever. Nobody's ever moved like AJ's going to move in front of him. Should be fun, though. That, like, I'm happy for Ngannou that he's literally making, I mean, tens
I hope of the Hogg cracks him early just to see the way he reacts and how he boxes after he gets cracked by the Hogg. That would be
I think there's a good chance that Hogg does get something sort of clean early and AJ goes into pure fucking box mode. And he's going to circle and jab the shit out of him.
He's going to go into scaredy cat mode and fucking up, and Hogg's going to take him out.
He's done that his entire career, though. Like, AJ, when he got caught by, who was it, the Mexican dude.
That Ruiz. Fucking,
yeah. After that, AJ got real fucking smart. That dude started boxing. And he's great at it. He's a really, for a guy his size, he can jab and move like few can. He's really fucking good at it. And that's going to be a bad thing for the Hogg, man. But Hogg's going to make, what, 40, 50, another 40, 50 million.
No matter what happens in the ring, it's a great night for the Hogg.
Do you see Hogg talking to that reporter? Do you see that video? Some little chick reporter doing something, and he's like, I'm getting you tonight. Like, he's out there now. Like, Hogg's like filling himself
no
now.
Fucks given.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He got paid. He's like filling himself now. It's good to fucking see, man. Good to fucking see.
I hope he manages to drag one of these boxing guys over to an MMA fight somehow. It's never going to happen because there's too much money on the other side. But
like, yeah. Steve's right. Like, I get it being a business. Like, you fucked up. The UFC fucked up. Nah. The dude is,
well, their business model now is just cut as many costs as possible
of course.
In the short term.
They're a content.
You're going to be able to make it up with the guaranteed contracts and like the bullshit filler cards, which if you thought this card was a little out of character, don't worry. Next week, we're back to normal. Tai Tuivasa, Marcin Tybura main event.
What was given to Ngannou? 20-30 million though. Like, what would they have made off him fighting John Jones? Like, that was so.
It doesn't matter. They fucked with him, and he wanted things that they would never give to him, and so it was just a point. It was never going to happen. But it's awesome. It's worked out wonderfully. Now we have a guy that actually got out and got rich. It might be the only guy that ever does it. I mean, other than Connor, but at least we got one.
There's a lot of fumble the bag guys that literally disappeared off of Twitter. Well, they didn't disappear. Those comments disappeared real fucking fast after signing the Fury fight and shit.
Yeah. Great.
Happy for the dude. I wish more could do it. I hope this lawsuit fucking fucks him good.
Indeed. I'm not sure if you can hear it. I can hear it. I'm going to wrap this shit up. Speaking of which, Carbo. Indeed.